3 months from this week, it'll be baseball season. That's enough time for you to sit down and read 501 baseball books that fans must read before they die. It's a piece of work from my guest today, Ron Kaplan. Ron, welcome.
Thank you, Dale. Great to be here.
And I'm a big baseball fan. Not so much lately. When my son was growing up, that's all we talked about, and that's all we did was baseball, whether it was cards or get ready to plan a trip to Kansas City to see the Royals. Actually, we weren't there to see the Royals. We went there to see the other team playing the Royals, really. but it's a close trip, so I'm a baseball fan, not so much lately, but you've been a baseball fan for quite a while, and the result is this book, 501 Baseball Books That Fans Must Read Before They Die. use any performing-enhancing drugs to put out such a monster book like this?
No, that could have come in handy as I was getting close to the deadline, but no, this is all natural.
Pure. Journalism.
Mm-hmm.
What criteria did you create for yourself to narrow a list down to 501 baseball books that fans must read before they die?
Well, and I want to emphasize, these are not necessarily the best baseball books, but these are important books, and even for those who aren't fans, they can come to this if you're interested in movies, if you're interested in novels, if you're interested in American history. You know, the baseball touches all of these topics. So I went looking for the books I thought, and it's very opinion-driven, the books I thought merited inclusion in such a project.
A lot of them out there, but significantly more than 501?
The original plan was 1,001.
Oh.
But I wanted to get it done. There are plenty of things out there that fall by the wayside. And in talking with some of the authors of these books, they're amazed that they'd forgotten they'd written these things. So they're happy that someone's paying a little attention now.
Is there a book that didn't make it on the list that just by sheer numbers it just couldn't, but it's one that could have been among your 501?
I'm a little embarrassed to say. My wife brought it up to me that I did not include the book that Field of Dreams is based on by W.P. Kinsella, Shoeless Joe Goes to Iowa. That's actually not its own standalone novel. It's part of a book of short stories. But I didn't include that. There are a couple of other things that didn't make it. But, you know, that's always up for debate, whether, you know, we're voting on the Hall of Fame now. So there's going to be debate about who just missed and who deserves to be in it. One of the problems was, in keeping this book as current as possible, some of the books that came out in 2012, you know, were just not included.
Is the book Field of Dreams is based on as good as the movie?
You're always going to have a debate whether a book is as good as a movie. I found the book better than the movie because when you see a movie, it's kind of spoon-fed. This is what you should be paying attention to. This is how it should sound. This is how it should look, as opposed to living it in your own head while you read it.
I don't know, Ron. When Kevin Costner looks at his young dad and asks if he wants to play catch, I bawl like a baby every time.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure.
My son's 27, and I still think of him as about 9 whenever I see that scene. And mm-hmm. Just you can just expect to see tears during for that part of the movie. So I wondered what your take is on baseball movies, not only Field of Dreams, but League of Their Own, Major League, The Natural, and others.
Well, okay, you bring up The Natural. You know, The Natural movie version is very different than the book, especially at the end. I don't want to give anything away, but it's different, and people who love the book will be disappointed. Who haven't seen the movie would be disappointed that wasn't true to form. But I'm a big fan of baseball movies from the 40s and 50s, you know, Pride of the Yankees, It Happens Every Spring, you know, the old black and white films that occasionally get trotted out around opening day or when the World Series is on.
See, true baseball fans, see if you agree with this, they're not afraid of books. I mean, baseball is a stats-driven sport anyway, so there's a lot of numbers and information on a piece of paper, so a book doesn't scare a baseball fan the way it maybe would somebody else.
Well, I think you always hear about baseball as a slower sport, so it gives time to discuss and ruminate, and I think that's one of the reasons that, you know, you have a few minutes to read while the game's going on, even. The thing you say about stats is true more so in the last 20 years or so, when sabermetrics became such a big thing, when Bill James was publishing his baseball abstracts and other books came writing on his coattails, so to speak. But this is certainly some of the best writers in sports have been writing about baseball. George Plimpton has a small ball theory. The smaller the ball, the better the writing. So that's why golf has such good writing and baseball has such good writing. Then when you get bigger, it kind of thins out a little bit.
Interested in your opinion about today's take on baseball and the books that are being written about today's baseball. Better books today, generally speaking, in your opinion, or maybe not as good as some of the books that were written in baseball's heyday?
Well, again, because there's so many different subgenres within the baseball category, it's hard to define everything in one stroke. I think, for the most part, baseball biographies, let's say, unless they're scholarly, and autobiographies, tend to be a little more dishing the dirt than they used to be. And that's a reflection of the times. You know, people are more interested in hearing about, you know, the peccadilloes of the athletes, the drugs they use, the women they sleep with, other antisocial behavior. That's a reflection of the times. But I go back to the watershed was perhaps Jim Boughton's Ball Four, when he started knocking down the myths that we had about some of our heroes. Prior to that, it was mostly about people who overcame adversity. That's why a book by R.A. Dickey, Wherever I Wind Up, which discusses his sexual abuse as a child, is such a refreshing thing because it's so open and honest, while not trying to play on sympathy and not trying to be sensational. Jim Abbott came out with the book. Jim Abbott was a pitcher who had one hand, pitched in the 80s and 90s. And what he had to overcome. You know, those stories are still important and still resonate.
Wouldn't it be fun to be able to go back and talk to some of the baseball reporters back in the Babe Ruth and the Ty Cobb days to find out what they knew but what they didn't report?
There's a story about Babe Ruth when he was... and in those days, the writers used to travel with the teams. They used to travel by train. This was even before flight. They used to travel by train, and a group of reporters were sitting in the club car playing cards and drinking. And all of a sudden, Babe Ruth comes running through, naked, chased by a woman with a knife. And no one bats an eye, and somebody says, well, that's another story we won't be writing.
I heard once, and I don't have any idea if it's true, but Jimmy Reese, who was a Yankee, I think, for a year or maybe 2 years back in the 30s, roommate of Babe Ruth's, mm-hmm. is said to have said that... the number of cigar butts in the ashtray, either before a game or after the game, would equal the number of women that Babe Ruth had invited up to his hotel room. Now, I don't know if that's true.
I've heard that anecdote. I don't know if it was Reese or not, but I have heard that anecdote. But yeah, as to your question, yeah, absolutely fascinating, because in those days, there wasn't even, radio was just beginning in those days. There was no TV. There was certainly no 24/7 sports coverage. So it was up to the writers to make the heroes. And that was the only way people in Nebraska, let's say, would hear about Babe Ruth. You know, Nebraska didn't have a major league team. That was the only way they would hear about these heroes. And, again, they would paint pictures in their minds about the prowess of some of these guys.
Ron Kaplan's with me today, author of 501 Baseball Books Fans Must Read Before They Die. So we're talking baseball here on a wintry sort of day. What's your argument, Ron, against the opinion that baseball is losing its historical luster? And an example that I came across, and there are obviously many, many more, but back in October of 2010, the Tampa Bay Rays were about a half game up on the Yankees, and Rays Stadium only about a third full. Nobody even cared to show up for a pretty hotly contested race at that time of the season.
Part of it is a reflection of the economy. It's just getting more and more expensive to go out to the ballpark. I'm not aware of the demographics of Tampa, you know, how many younger families there are there, how close the ballpark is to the city center, how easy it is to get to. one of the sad things you see as a New York fan is when you watch a game, you look at the center field camera, and there are empty seats behind home plate. Now, of course, those are the most expensive seats, but it's a part of the reflection of the economy, for one part. The historical luster, again, maybe it's an age thing. Maybe younger people just aren't interested in the pace of baseball. They want something a little faster, a little more, unfortunately, violent, let's say, when it comes to football being the most popular team sport these days. Certainly the NFL does, I think, more to brand their product than Major League Baseball does, although their Major League Baseball is always trying to come up with things, but the NFL seems to have the market in their pocket.
Yeah, over a third of adults these days say that when they follow a sport, that sport is pro football. It's their favorite. 13% say baseball is their favorite, and that gap between the two seems to be widening.
I think one of the issues is also football, you have a very limited amount of games, and it's once a week. Baseball, you figure, if I don't see the game today, I'll see it tomorrow.
Well, with baseball, you're right, and everybody has their favorite team, too. I was just talking with our receptionist out front, and she's an Atlanta Braves fan. Her fiance is a St. Louis Cardinals fan, and they hate each other. I mean, they do. They obviously love each other. They're getting married, but they hate each other when it comes to their favorite in baseball. There's a lot of passion there. As baseball, I mentioned at the very beginning that we're about 3 months away, 3 months this week from the start of baseball season. What does that do to you? Do you gear up? Or do you work up a frenzy toward baseball, or is it just a job for you?
No, it's not a job. It's somewhere in between. I'm not a kid anymore, so I don't have that kind of anticipation. But I do look forward to it. I do my reading every day. I check the Hot Stove League and see what rumors abound about who might be playing where next year, or even within one team who might be moving to another position to make room for the hotshot prospect that's coming up. So, I'm always following it.
Does money bother you, the money these players are making these days?
It doesn't bother me because they're not taking, it's not like, you know, they're taking money away from me, they're taking money out of my pocket. I have more of a problem with ownership. It's the ownership who are giving them the money. Yeah. It's up to the player to try to get as much as he can. But it's up to the owners to say, well, this is as far as we're going and not anymore. It's a tough economic times. And we can't, it's like the Mets right now. R.A. Dickey was probably their most popular player. He wrote the book. He won the Cy Young Award, had a phenomenal season. And they trade him to the Blue Jays for prospects, which is pretty much kind of giving up on the season almost, because nothing is going to happen. Nothing was going to happen for them anyway in 2013, but certainly it's going to be less. And whereas he might draw people out to the park, who's going to draw people out to the park for them now? All they really have is David Wright. And as great a player as he is, R.A. Dickey made for a much better story.
Yeah, the shame is not in asking. The shame is writing the check.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say it, but I'm almost a fan of collusion. When it happened back in the 80s and the owners got together, they say, well, this is as high as we're going to go. As long as everybody sticks to it, but then you're talking salary cap, and, you know, for all I know, that's illegal.
Ron Kaplan here on Lincoln Live today. We're talking baseball. His book is 501 Baseball Books That Fans Must Read Before They Die. We'll dive into the book when we continue on Lincoln Live in a moment. Baseball season is about 3 months away. We're talking about the sport today with Ron Kaplan, author of 501 Baseball Books Fans Must Read Before They Die. You got a favorite among the 501, Ron?
There's a very little-known book that came out in the mid-90s called The Tao of Baseball.
The Tao? D-O-W?
The Tao, T-A-O.
Oh, Tao. Okay.
Tao of Baseball, written by a man who used the pseudonym of Go. It's G with an O with the long symbol over it, and it discusses for every action there's an opposite. You know, the pitcher has a yin, the yang is the batter. The defense, each position has a yin and a yang, and represents certain aspects of the I Ching. So I found that fascinating, and I went back to that. I usually don't reread stuff because there's so many books out there that I want to get to that I find it, it's almost not a sin, but a waste of time in a way to read stuff I've already read.
Is there a book on the list that you really don't care for, but because you're a good journalist or because you're writing this book that you feel you just got to put it on the list?
As a matter of fact, there was a hot new novel that came out last year called The Art of Fielding by Chad Harback, and it got tremendous buzz before it was published because the author, a first-time novelist, got a huge advance, like almost like a Stephen King type of advance, high six figures. And I read the book, and it was getting like pre-press that this is the next Natural, this is the next Celebrant, and quite frankly, it is a large book, a lot of buzz. I read it, and I didn't like it. I don't know if I was predisposed to not liking it because of the buzz it got or what, but I just really didn't think it deserved all the hype it got. But I included it just for that reason. This is a book that gets buzz and see what happens. You can agree or not, but as I said, it's an opinion-driven book.
Those who look at baseball, Ron, say that the kids just aren't picking it up, whether it's because of soccer, video games, distractions, society, whatever the case might be. But kids aren't nearly as interested in baseball. They're not sneaking away from school or spending their summers on a ball field. So do you have books on your list that are good for kids that maybe would draw them into the sport?
Again, juvenile is not my strong suit. There are Ken Burns, who did that wonderful documentary on baseball with back in the mid-90s, did a children's version of the book. It was printed as a companion piece to the series, but he and his co-writer did put out a book about that. The Jackie Robinson story was a 1963 biography, which discussed in very child-friendly terms everything he had to go through. It's a very inspirational story, and certainly Jackie Robinson is still a hero these days. Home is Everything, which is a book about Latinos leaving the relative comfort of their countries to come to America, where they have the problem of language and culture and having to struggle to make it through that. There are certainly books out there that can entice kids. But again, if the kid is going to be a reader, that's fine. If a kid wants to play ball, then he should get out there and be playing.
There you go. Is there a genre that's more recognizable among your lists, whether it's fiction, instruction books, books about ballparks, books about the history of baseball, those sorts of things?
The biggest section is the section on autobiography, biography, and memoir. Pretty much encompasses a lot. History is also a very large part of the book because that breaks down into other categories, books about ethnicity in baseball, racism, different Asian baseball, Latino baseball, Jews in baseball, pop culture. There's a lot. There's some really, really nice books that combine literature with art. Huge coffee table books where you'll find some of the most recognizable writings about baseball and images about baseball. Those are really nice. They make wonderful gifts, and they're always available. Even through online, you can always find it and at very good prices. I like reference books. I enjoy going through some of these things very slowly. I might not sit down and gobble it up in one gulp. They're not designed to be read that way. I enjoy books like that as well.
Do baseball players write good baseball books?
The R.A. Dickey book was certainly a wonderful book. There are a handful. Whether they write them by themselves or with help, whether the help is credited or not. Babe Ruth used to write books that just carried his byline, but they certainly weren't written by him. The R.A. Dickey book is good. Jim Bowden's book was written with Leonard Schechter. Sometimes you need the help of a journalist, a sports writer, whoever, someone who understands how to put a sentence together. When I spoke with Wayne Coffey, who helped Ari Dickey with his book, I asked what the procedure was, and he says it varies from person to person. Sometimes they'll just talk into a tape recorder, and he'll transcribe it with minor changes. With Ari Dickey, he met many, many times and sat down, and they discussed. Ari Dickey was, I believe, an English major in college, so he already knew the ins and outs of writing. Coffey just probably polished it up. And also, when that's the thing about memoir, you know, how you remember something is not necessarily the way it happened. And you need someone to say, well, you sure you want to say this? You sure you want to say that? You need a sounding board. So there is that.
Ron Kaplan is with me today. His book is 501 Baseball Books Fans Must Read Before They Die. You also host a blog on baseball literature. I'm interested to know what's being written about baseball these days and how it's different than when you got started writing about baseball.
Well, I've had that blog. It's Ron Kaplan's baseballbookshelf.com, and it's had a few incarnations. It started out as a blog under the MLB.com auspices. Then I moved it to a free version of WordPress. Now it's a full version of WordPress. And it's not just books. It's media. It's pretty much, I mean, it's anything you can put on a bookshelf. I'm looking at my bookshelf right now, and I have like an Ichiro duck. They used to put out these, it's not quite a bobblehead, but it's a duck, and it's like Ichiro. I have a Mike Piazza bobblehead. I have a couple of baseballs on the shelf. So it's collectibles, it's DVDs, it's music, it's posters, and I scour the internet looking for things. It's a little quiet right now. I just posted about a story of a former ball player with the Pirates in the 80s whose father was murdered and sent him into somewhat of a tailspin. And all due respect to it's a wonderful piece, but that's not the kind of piece that you would find during the season.
You're a sports and features writer and editor for the New Jersey Jewish News, a freelance writer. Works have appeared in Baseball America, Cleveland Plain Dealer, E! Magazine, and others. What do you do as editor of the Society for American Baseball's Research's Biographical Committee? That's a long one. What do you
Actually,
do for
it's
that
a
newsletter?
Bibliography committee.
Bibliography committee.
There is a biography committee. The bibliography committee is a group of, I mean, pretty much if you're in Sabre, you are there because of the research aspects. I mean, that's right in the name. And even that's kind of like the book. There are all these different divisions, all these different committees that focus on 19th century baseball statistics, baseball and business. And this is a small group of book enthusiasts. So it's stories about, you know, what's coming out. Many members of Sabre, it's a 5,000-member organization. Many of their members are authors in their own right, and they publish books. It's kind of an extension of the blog in that, you know, I kind of put several of my pieces up there as well as contributions from other members.
Where can folks get your book, Ron?
The book is available through the University of Nebraska Press. It's available for pre-order on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
See, that's what got my attention in the first place. It's from the University of Nebraska Press, and you can just Google it and find out more. How did a New Jersey guy hook up with Nebraska Press?
Well, that's a funny story, as they say. I was originally approached by another publishing house to do the 1001 books, and they said, please submit a proposal. So I spent a week or so working on the proposal. This is my first book, so this is all a wonderful learning experience for me. I submitted the proposal, and in the interim, the company had been taken over, and the new management decided they didn't want to go with this project. So I'm sitting there with this fully finished book proposal, and I said, well, you know, I should try to do something with it. And University of Nebraska Press is probably the top or one of the top three publishers of baseball material. They put out some really nice books and very varied. It's not, you'd think university would be strictly scholarly, but it's not. And I submitted it, and they accepted it. They said knock it down to a more manageable number, and here we have it.
Yeah, it's available in paperback. You can pick it up. Is it out now, or is it going to be released?
No, it's officially out on April 1st.
April. Well, there you go. Start of the baseball season.
So you can pre-order it. I've started a standalone website just for the book. The site for that is tinyurl.com/501baseball. And on that site, I'll be posting news and events, appearances, things like that, reviews. And one of the things I'll be doing is podcasts with as many authors as I can manage. Many of these authors are no longer with us, unfortunately. But those who are, the response I'm getting is amazing as far as they're anxious to participate.
The book is 501 Baseball Books Fans Must Read Before They Die. Thanks for your time, Ron.
Oh, thank you, Dale. Pleasure.
Ron Kaplan joining me on Lincoln Live.